Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by the host with the most, the difference maker, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tony Sager. Tony, how are you, sir?
Great, thanks, Sean. Great to be back with you.
Fantastic. Great to have you here. Also joined by a very special guest, Lynn Doan of Women in Cybersecurity, or WinSys. Lynn, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me here today. Absolutely. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. Lynn, I wanted to start this conversation, if we could. Could you introduce the nonprofit WinSys, or Women in Cybersecurity, and your mission?
Sure. So Women in Cybersecurity, we often go by our acronym, WICYS, and we pronounce it WICYS, like we sisters, because that's exactly what we are. We are this global cyber sisterhood. So our mission is to recruit, retain, and advance women in cybersecurity. And we offer a ton of different programming efforts, not only to get women into cybersecurity, but very importantly, be retained and advance in their careers. Because we exist, we're a critical workforce shortage, and WICYS is here to simply do something about that. And so we're really fortunate to be a member-based 501c3 nonprofit. We have over 11,000 members. We have representation in 103 countries. In addition to that, we have 72 professional affiliates. So I'm executive director of the global organizations, and those 72 professional affiliates are many WICYS organizations all around the world. And then on top of that, we have 314 student chapters. So each and every day, we reach hundreds and thousands of individuals as we continue to drive our mission and our vision and our values forward for the cybersecurity workforce.
Yeah, it's amazing growth and just an incredible reach. And, you know, it's been obviously you have a big fan base here at the Center for Internet Security, Lynn. And I think you scheduled to come speak at one of our events sometime here in the near future, I hope. If not, we'll correct that. But tell me, so I had a chance to see you speak live at the Minnesota Cyber Summit. And I was ready to sign up, Lynn. I'm in your army. And it was so exciting to hear all the great work that you have done. During the talk, I was standing at the table of the local chapter, the state chapter of WICYS. And it was just wonderful to see the enthusiasm, just at large for the industry, but also by women in particular who have been historically underrepresented. So what is the secret to all this? How do you keep it growing and fresh and exciting?
Yeah. And thank you, Tony. It was such a pleasure to see you there. What a pleasant surprise to see you at the Cybersecurity Summit. I really appreciated the time that we had together at that event. So, you know, I always think back of, we're such a community-driven organization. We're very action-orientated too. We do a lot of our own research, and we're very data-driven in the decisions that we make and what we're driving forward in our programming efforts. But when you look back into the core of our existence, we started in 2014. Dr. Amberine Siraj was at Tennessee Tech University at the time. She reached out to National Science Foundation to receive some seed funding to host the first ever Women in Cybersecurity Conference. And the reason why is because at that time, there was some data floating around that women represented 11% of the workforce. Well, quite honestly, Dr. Siraj was surprised. It was even 11%. At that time in 2014, she wasn't seeing even 11% in any of her circles of industry, academia, or government. And so she came up with, well, if women in cybersecurity exist, let's bring them together for a technical conference so we can learn and grow together. So from the very humble beginnings of just starting as this group of let's bring together a technical conference for women in cybersecurity to join forces, came with the mission of recruit, retain, and advance women in cybersecurity. And what was interesting is way back then, for every regular registrant, WICYS issued out a scholarship. So we were always the only cybersecurity conference that ensured equal representation of scholarship recipients and industry professionals that are coming there. And so as time goes, that mission and vision of recruit, retain, and advance women in cybersecurity, as more industry professionals are coming to WSIS for their professional growth and advancement, career development, then we're paying it forward by issuing out scholarships. And that life cycle has really come full circle. Those scholarship recipients had got their first jobs because of the WSIS conference. Then they, you know, then they had learning experiences. They had career advancement opportunities because of WSIS. They've elevated themselves. They're in senior roles now, and they continue to pay it forward. So that whole life cycle is really there, and that community has grown with WSIS. I mean, we've been here now for over 11 years, and the community has grown with us. And so the secret, you know, it's really no secret at all. It's just when you're committed to the community that you serve, the community grows up with you as well, and then continues to propel the organization and the community along with you. And so as we grow, our community grows with us, and it's just been an accelerated force of effort to really bring more women into the workforce. It's been an incredible experience. So that passion comes out very clearly, not only in myself, WSIS changed my career trajectory, myself back in 2018, but also with all our members. You see their passion and their commitment to the organization. It comes out really strong. And I'm glad you felt that when you were with the community there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things I often point out when I speak is that especially the business of cybersecurity, cyber defense is hard work and often thankless work. And we have to celebrate at every opportunity. We have to encourage, we have to support each other. And it's so if you want easy work, and I'll say easy work, but better defined work, go work in offense. You work in defense, right? It never ends. And so it really is full of, you know, everyday challenges that just don't end. There's no end in sight, as a matter of fact. So we do have to celebrate and create that enthusiasm and create that passion for the work that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what I love about the WSIS organization too, and it's really important to note that we're not a women's only organization. We're a community of women and men and allies and advocates that are all concerned about the critical workforce shortage. And so therefore, we all support our efforts on recruiting, retaining, and advancing women in their capacity. So it's always incredible for us when we have such strong allies and advocates that are working so diligently within our organization alongside with us, just as hard as everyone else.
Fantastic. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break. Are you a U.S. state, local, tribal, or territorial government organization? Well, if so, you know how remote and hybrid work models make it really difficult to protect your endpoints and manage your vulnerabilities? Well, this is where CIS Endpoint Security Services can help. Now available exclusively to U.S. SLTTs like yours, CIS ESS deploys directly on endpoint devices to help you identify, detect, respond to, and remediate endpoint security incidents and alerts. Now, it works in partnership with our 24/7/365 CIS Security Operations Center, which analyzes threat detections and notifies you of actionable endpoint security incidents, all within 5 minutes. Now, ESS also comes with add-on and standalone capabilities that provide real-time insight into vulnerability and mobile devices, including those of subordinate organizations you oversee. So strengthen your endpoint defenses today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Thank you. And let's jump back into the episode.
Now, Lynn, in the 11 years, there's been challenges, right, over time. How do you maintain agility in terms of societal and political challenges that we see now? And obviously from WSIS, those challenges, have those changed over time in those last 11 years that you've seen? And really, how is WSIS and the amazing community that you've created, supported, and curated, how is that necessarily adapting to those challenges?
So I think with the growth of any organizations, you're always going to have challenges that you're faced with, depending on, you know, the lawmaking, legislation, geopolitical climate. There's so many different variables that change things. When I first became executive director, it was in October of 2019. Well, COVID hit very quickly, and we were all at that time doing in-person events and activities. And as a matter of fact, us going into this virtual landscape was just something on the future, like a future strategy. What would a virtual organization look like? What about going international? And COVID really allowed us to just expand the opportunities to the now, and then realizing that in order to really show up for our community, we had no choice but to go virtual very, very quickly. And what that did for us is it let down the guardrails that we had of in-person activities so that we could kind of grow in that international global space very rapidly. And so with each and every change that comes across, we're always looking at what are staying really grounded and rooted in the core of the reason why we exist, because of the critical workforce shortage, grounded in our mission, vision, and values. What community are we here to serve? And then how are we letting our four strategic pillars lead us through that effort? And our four strategic pillars are building an inclusive cybersecurity and skilled workforce, community leadership, organizational excellence, and then sustainable growth. So those are our four strategic pillars, and they're really the anchor of our organization. But then being very nimble and flexible, knowing that there's always going to be these changes. And right now we're faced in one of those really transitionary phases that is impacting a lot of industry. It's disrupting a lot of industry in a lot of ways. I think we all are approaching it where we have more questions than we have answers right now. We really don't have a good understanding of everything level setting. And so with WESIS, we're staying really steady and focused on all of our programming efforts, moving forward our programming efforts, you know, on course, exactly like how they've all been set up and structured to do, knowing that the workforce is still at a critical workforce shortage and the work that we do is critically important now more than ever to be able to be in this space and to be able to not let our guard down on the cybersecurity workforce. I mean, what we're doing is we're investing in the most valuable and expensive asset in cybersecurity, and that's its people. And that type of work cannot stop. And, you know, really having those four strategic pillars and a good 5-year strategic plan is the priority for us, because we're looking at a lot right now. We're looking at the current climate. We're also looking at forecasting in the future when the youngest of the baby boomers are going to be reaching retirement age. What does that mean for the cybersecurity workforce? We're going to have very highly technical individuals that have been in cybersecurity before it was even called cybersecurity. Not to say that they're going to be retiring at 65, but we certainly have to plan that shortly thereafter that we are going to have this exodus of very highly technical and talented individuals. And how is WESIS preparing mid-career members for those more senior positions? But then we're also faced with different challenges too, like declining college and university enrollments. What is certifications? The value of certifications is coming forward really strongly right now. How are we creating more accessibility for people to have a better understanding of what a cybersecurity career can mean to them? And how do we make sure that we get them on the pathway for that cybersecurity career? So we're looking, you know, 5 years from now in 2025, we're working on 2030 to ensure that there's not this gap in our efforts in any capacity, you know, in order to ensure that we're secure when we get there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, your focus on you know, knowing what you're all about is really key to that, right? In confusing times, if you don't know what you're all about, then you just wind up sort of floating along the stream and whatever. And I think that just the strategic focus of this, and the, you know, I grew up in a different time. Yes, retirement at 70 is, or later, is probably more like for my generation the way things are going. But I think the you know, in those times, right, when I started, I was hired into a machine that had kind of a career path. You know, I knew what the resources were, all the things that would kind of lead me along a trail. And somewhere in the middle of my career, all that seemed to just disappear. And it became much more complicated to figure out, right? There were no more masters to learn from, because they were masters in fields that were no longer relevant. And so we had to figure out, how do we build structures that, you know, can provide a path that's not within a single institution. You know, that is, again, I was hired into a machine. They were willing to invest in me up front because it would be decades of service, and it all worked out. It was a good deal. But I think, you know, what I really appreciate about the work that you do is this, you're in this vanguard of, we have to create structures outside of individual organizations that think about these career paths and how do we grow? How do we deal with the next social condition or technical, you know, thing that drops from the sky or AI? You know, we're in constant reinvention of the field, I think, and the skills needed to succeed and the role it plays in society. So I think that's an additional role that I know you're conscious of and that you play. But let me ask you one question. So I may misquote you, so please correct me if I got this wrong. But you said something in the Minnesota talk you gave, and it was something on the order of, if you focus on inclusion, you will get diversity. It's something along those lines. Does that ring a bell? Do you remember saying that? Because it really struck me. I said, oh, that's exactly right. If we include all, then we don't worry. You know, people tend to worry about do we look right? The issue really is about are we bringing all the opinions together, all the different viewpoints, all the different ways of tackling these problems, then things will work out okay. Any riff on that? Because that really struck me when you said it so passionately.
Yeah, when you lay down and when you lay down all the foundation of inclusion, diversity will naturally expand. And so this was on our radar many years ago when, you know, the DEI efforts were really coming forward and a lot of focus was put on the D and not really going into the E or the I of DEI. And we knew that sometimes in some instances, the diversity metric can turn into a feel-good metric because it's one you can measure. It's very easy to measure. And if it grows ever so slightly, everyone could pat themselves on the back and say, you know, job well done. But for us, inclusion is much more complicated because inclusion isn't very often talked about, and it's very important for retention. You know, in cybersecurity, we could recruit all we want, but if we're not retaining and advancing talented individuals in this space, then they were only continually to perpetuate the problem of having a critical workforce shortage. So it was really important for us to get this understanding is what is that state of inclusion, especially for women in cybersecurity. And that's what led us to partner with Elyria Research, and Elyria helped us understand, you know, where is our retention at for women in cybersecurity? What does it look like for the future of it? And cultivating that culture of inclusion is a place where diversity will expand. So it was, you know, taking out, not looking at that diversity metric, really focusing on the state of inclusion for women in cybersecurity. What does retention look like? And then we could have a clear data point and understanding of what kind of decisions are we making on our programming efforts that will help overcome any type of challenges so that all can be able to elevate and expand in their careers from that space. So yeah, we're always talking about, you know, the inclusion and that retention as being a critical piece. And it's really important right now because as we're looking at skills-based advancement, we're looking at where, with skills-based advancement, we're looking at all the data that is impacting the cybersecurity workforce and then trying to get an understanding of what type of assessment for the skills-based advancement, what does it look like for the workforce as we're building it, moving it forward?
Yeah. Well, I think even, Lynn, in that space, the velocity of skill development, it seems like skills every 5 to 10 years are really changing in terms of because of the technological advancement and the requirement necessarily over time is changing as well. There's where the agility necessarily comes in. And I love the four pillars. I mean, setting a foundation upon which you can then build and really proselytize necessarily this need of diversity and inclusion is so key for moving, again, us forward necessarily to one, minimize that gap between experts and cybersecurity professionals to continue because, if you look at it, Lynn, and again, just over my, you know, short career, as it were, compared to Tony's, you know, I'm only 20 years in compared to him, is that over that time, is that we've had such a diversity, the digitization of society has required us to react to formally name the field necessarily, right? It wasn't cybersecurity before, and Tony's mentioned its evolution over time, information assurance, and, you know, different names necessarily for what we're trying to do. I feel it's so important that we have to really understand and bring that message. And I also think, and Lynn, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, generationally, I think that message is also changing. And is that part necessarily of your five-year plan and your agility necessarily? Over time, we're having to change because generationally, there are different adages of what actually cybersecurity means and its consequences if we are not prepared and really looking, like you say, down 5 years in order to address these current risks and future risks. Does that make any sense there, Lynn, with respect to a generational assessment?
Yeah, I mean, when we're looking at the workforce, is how can we right now drive the change that's needed to ensure that we're preparing mid-career individuals for those more senior roles 5 years from now? But also all of our programming efforts are really looking at what is needed in the workforce at this time. And it's always changing. We're always, you know, looking at how are we utilizing models that are proven successful, that have made a great impact in the past, but be able to address the needs and the demands of cyber workforce right now. And that's really important for our strategic partners. We have over 60 strategic partners. They're the ecosystem of like-minded organizations that continue to support the WSIS mission. It's important for us to intake what their needs are in the workforce and for us to also utilize that. Because what we're here is to serve our community. We're here to create accessibility and opportunities for women to get into and advance in cybersecurity. But we're also here for our over 60 strategic partners and what are their needs? Because we're bridging that gap between our community that we serve and our partners and their hiring needs and their cybersecurity needs within the workforce. So, you know, and that's what's important about being nimble and flexible and to be able to understand what's the need right now. And then to be able to lean on your successful programming efforts in the past. How can you enhance it to address the needs and the demands of right now to prepare the workforce of the future? And that's a beautiful place to be in a nonprofit world, because we could have that amount of accessibility to make those really quick decisions on building out programs for what we need right now. You know, and AI is a great example of that. You know, 3 years ago, we weren't thinking about building out our big security AI type of programming efforts. And right now, those are our top priorities on the intersection between AI and cyber and how are we working towards that. So, you know, we're always looking at everything, the big picture, and then what do we do right now to help mitigate risks in the future?
Yeah, no question. Now, Lynn, if I could, as you've been in with the organization since 2019, what are some of the successes that you've seen, some of the success stories? I'm sure there's individuals you've seen who have grown into managerial and even beyond positions with the influence. And I really don't want to understate this, but the impact of WSIS is huge. I mean, as you mentioned, many, many different chapters, global reach. And I think now providing the motivation and the support is phenomenally life-changing for many individuals. But any successes that you'd like to highlight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, each and every day, if I could open up my LinkedIn and I'm tagged on so many different stories, it's just unbelievable about life-changing. And there isn't a day that goes by that people don't mention how WSIS really impacted their entire career. I mean, WSIS changed my life. In 2018 was when I attended my first conference. And you don't know what you're missing until you really have it right in front of you. And because of the opportunities and the network that was formed at my first conference in 2018, when it was right here in Chicago, my career advanced very quickly. And then I was asked to consider applying for the role myself as executive director almost a year and a half later. And so I am truly a WSIS success story. And to be able to live and breathe that and have that passion as you're paying it forward to others is so meaningful and impactful. But the organization itself, what really, you know, we have so many signature programming efforts that continually get funded and make such a big impact. Like in 2020, in the thick of COVID, we created a security training scholarship, one that CIS helped us advance and continue to grow in a much larger capacity, thanks to the additional funding there. But That came from a labor of love. There is a need. How are we going to support our community when we can't even get together? And how are we going to make an impact? And in that programming effort, we built this tiered program where we're advancing individuals that have aptitude, grit, determination. We want to create life-changing economic mobility for women to get into cybersecurity and get their career pathway going so they have this financial freedom ahead of them. And cybersecurity has the ability, that career has the ability to do that. And when we track all the individuals that are going through the program, we're taking individuals that feel stagnant in their careers or stay-at-home moms for the past 16 years. They didn't even know they had aptitude in cybersecurity, and they just so happened to have it. And they just so happen to have the skill set and, you know, the determination and the ways about them to be able to successfully navigate through very hard advanced SANS certifications and then get placed in their careers. And we're following them as, you know, to senior cloud security analysts now. We're following them into these really high level senior positions. And that's just 4 years out of being in our programming effort, that we took them from zero cyber to a year and a half later, not even a year and a half later, getting into their first cybersecurity position, and then continue to advance from there on after. We're taking, you know, another great story is a veteran that came into cybersecurity, and she was just miserable, a single mom. She had three kids and was in a career that wasn't making her happy. She just, every day she was drained and exhausted working on cadavers. I mean, it was just heart-wrenching for her to be in the position that she was in. And she saw something about WESIS in one of her programming efforts and came into it. And a year and a half later, she had a great career, was able to move her family across the country and work for an amazing organization that's a strategic partner of ours, and is able to provide her for her family in ways that she only dreamed of in the past. And those stories, I mean, those are just two quick stories. There's stories go on and on about what we're able to offer for so many individuals here. And then for us, even our own programs come from a labor of love of our community coming forward saying, hey, let's build out additional resources for our mentor-mentee program. And right now, that mentor-mentee program that was built out in 2020, right now we have over 1,600 enrolled in that cohort, and it's a 9-month cohort. So every program not only has sustained itself, but it continues to scale, and we continue to expand on it based on the needs of our community. And you could only imagine our mentor-mentee program. I mean, we built it out in 2020 in the middle of COVID. The resources were vastly different than what our community needed in 2020 than it was in 2022. And even now, as a mentor myself in that own programming effort, I'm reading these resources and I'm like, whoa, these resources are vastly different what we need for our community right now to navigate through the current political landscape and the current needs of our industries. They're vastly different. So each and every month and every quarter, we're revising and updating our own resources to provide the best efforts for everyone.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, talk about impact and enabling people to fulfill dreams and be able at life-changing elements. There's one other element that you'd also mentioned, and it brings up, you mentioned SANS, and there's not really a show that we don't mention the late, great Alan Parler. Lynn, could you just explain how you met Alan and his influence in this space?
Yeah. So I met Alan through our founder, Dr. Amberine Siraj, and when she was working on the WESIS conference, Alan was a big part of her conversation, of course, and would always, you know, challenge and you know, question, you know, what, how is that going to be scalable? How is it going to be sustainable? In the true Alan fashion, you know, not just doing a one and done type of conference or activity or event. How is it going to grow into something big? I mean, Alan had that visionary power of looking into the future and thinking, how is this going to change the world? And that was Alan's big gift. And that was his gift to WESIS. And, you know, when I became executive director in 2019, he was one of the first individuals that was excited to meet me, came into the meeting already knowing the history of WESIS, working with Dr. Amberine Siraj for quite some time. by that point, and was looking forward to the future to come of the organization. And we were able to brainstorm programming efforts together. We were able to brainstorm new initiatives for the WESIS organization and how it's going to really just, open up possibilities for more women to get actively involved in cybersecurity at even a younger age. And he was able to open up some major doorways to help things happen in the direction that they've gone for the organization. Of course, it didn't come without challenge. I mean, everyone that knows Alan also knows he challenges you very well. And it takes quite an internal resilience to also get through those conversations too. So, yeah. And if he didn't like an idea that you were mentioning, he made it very known that, you know, maybe you better pivot in your conversation very quickly. And so, Alan was a big part of my career growth. He was a great mentor to me. And it's a great honor to serve on one of the programming efforts as a board member now, the Alan Pollard Laurette program. And so I am a new board member to that. And to be able to pay it forward, I just feel like the relationship that I've had with Alan is full circle to be able to serve in the capacity and the true spirit of him and how he continues to make such a change for the community that we have here at WESIS.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. We appreciate it, Lynn. Yeah, we every board meeting, every one-on-one conversation with Alan was like that, right? He could be so charming and supportive and yet challenging you at the same time. And it was exciting to be in that conversation, right? The story was so good that you wanted to aim a little higher. And I think that was it. Yeah, and so one of the many reasons we have brought you on as a guest today was to acknowledge you're one of the recipients of the Alan Pollard Laureate Program grants. And the notion there, of course, is to further, you know, what would Alan have done? How would he have encouraged, supported, connected work that he saw as having that kind of scaling potential? And how do I, you know, how does he bring more attention to it? Bring it the right friends, bring it the right funding if that was necessary. So, yeah, cast a big shadow over the Center for Internet Security as one of our key founders and someone that we always kind of remind ourselves, are we aiming high enough? I think that's part of my job as the, if you saw my job title, the chief evangelist at CIS, the channel Alan, to say, are we aiming high enough? I know we can be successful, but are we aiming high enough is what we always say.
It's a great challenge too. Yeah. And it is a great challenge. It's great to always be reminded of that.
That's right. Yeah. And as Sean said, one of the things that I'm well into my second career, obviously, here, but this power of volunteerism, you know, the role of nonprofits in cybersecurity overall, and then the role of volunteerism, they usually go hand in hand. And the scale that you're able to achieve, right? I mean, that's what keeps, I think, the industry progressing. It's what keeps folks like me in the industry, the chance to be around such amazing, talented people who will give of their time for a bigger cause, right? Who see themselves as part of a bigger, important social, technical phenomenon and are willing to spend incredible amounts of time. I know you see that in your volunteers. You do not have thousands of employees. You have thousands of human beings all moving in the same direction. I think that's, you know, that's just an amazing vital part of this entire industry. We could not operate without this sort of level of volunteerism. And we couldn't, you couldn't. And I think that speaks well to the people that populate this.
You know, it's really important for retention too. And we've actually pulled the data. And employees of WESIS strategic partners, so we have over 60 strategic partners that continue to fund the organization. Employees of WESIS strategic partners have less experiences of exclusion and higher levels of satisfaction when they're participating in all WESIS activities. And so it really shows that really critical piece of that community-based effort as a part of retention, even in the industry itself. Because to be able to have reduced experiences of exclusion and higher levels of satisfaction, it's showcasing that either they're attending a webinar or they're presenting on a webinar, they're either a mentor or a mentee in our programming effort, they're helping launch a programming effort, they're running and putting together an own CTF or you know, for only the WSIS organization, they're working on something collectively outside of their day-to-day job and something that's very invigorating and exciting for them. And they're being retained. They're finding great joy in their job because they're supported in that capacity as well. And so that's a really valuable retention tool. And also, you know, they're working together with other employees in their industry that are not always working side by side, but they're able to because of the WSIS is kind of that connector, that conduit that's bringing them together. So it brings an incredible amount of satisfaction for volunteers to be able to work at that higher level of capacity, to be able to pay it forward. And, you know, the data also shows that individuals that are a mentee, that have a mentor, are 5 times more likely to advance in their career. But individuals that are a mentor are 6 times more likely to receive a promotion. So it shows those leadership skill sets of paying it forward and putting yourself out there. Just they continue to pay off.
Yeah, you know, we've tried to follow your example here at the Center for Internet Security. You know that the investment. I sometimes call this a proudly old fashioned. You know, I grew up in a machine, as I mentioned, right? The institution would invest in you with hopes that you would stay, and it all worked out. But you know, lots of I think tech companies are reluctant to invest in people because they see them as more transient. You're more temporary in the workplace. And so you want to get folks who are ready to go because you're going to get a limited number of years. But we have done the opposite at CIS. And, you know, again, that's why we're big fans of your work and WSIS. To invest in people both gets you better work today, but it also gets you work tomorrow, right? People who want see themselves as part of this bigger activity that you talked about. Sean, any last question that you have for Lynn here?
No, I just wanted to say, Lynn, the impact that you and the organization is having are absolutely instrumental in moving us forward in really the challenge of cybersecurity. It's never really done. You know, it's a journey, not a destination. I just want to say thank you and make sure that everybody knows to go to wicys.org to see all the great work you're doing, the way they can participate, and also find out more information about the great work and advocacy that you're doing in the space. I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah. Lynn, any last thought for our audience that you care to share? Any last message?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity just to share a little bit more about the WSIS organization, but also to thank both of you and CIS for continuing to pay it forward for others and doing the good work that you're doing out there. And so it really shows the type of support that you're offering to so many. And we really appreciate your work and everything that you're bringing forward for the industry. So it's been a great partnership so far. It was a joy to be here today and to be with the both of you. And I just, you know, I'm looking forward to all the great things to come from it.
Right back at you. We're looking forward to it also. So we both, I think we both share this feeling we're part of a community and we are going to do our part, take the lead where it makes sense, follow otherwise. So all good. Well, Sean, over to you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lynn. I really, again, appreciate it, all the great work that you're doing. And to our audience, thank you so much. Make sure to subscribe in all the usual ways. New episodes every Wednesday. Catch us on YouTube at thecisecurity.org. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.